Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Ah, that was Pastor Kenichi Bambo, No Greater Love. And yeah, we are loved, talking about the love of Jesus Christ this morning. And some beautiful reggae sounds to just say hello to Dr. Inga Mkalele on the other side. My queen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am so good. Always awesome to be talking to you. I know that there's something new coming. There's something new.
I must say.
So before we go to the diabetes mellitus today, as we said, I asked family members to send in their questions, and I'm still saying it to family members, send in your questions whilst we're still here with Dr. Inga Mkalele, and we will answer your questions today. Medical, let's be specific, medical questions, and whatever medical condition that you have, we will allow Dr. Mkalele to minister unto you, or to refer you, to tell you which kind of doctor would you need to go to for that. All right, Dr. Mkalele, here's the first one before we go to diabetes mellitus, because today is more about our Radio Pulpit family. And it says, good morning. I have had a mole removed on my back that was growing before this was removed, and the area around the mole started itching a lot. Now 3 months after it was removed, it still itches more than in the beginning. It is not dry on the skin, it is inside underneath. Why would this be, Dr. Mkalele?
So that's a bit of a tricky one, because I don't know if that sensation is sort of remnants of where the mole had been. But what I will say, that if the mole has been removed and the skin has healed, then it's nothing really much to worry about. There are nerves in our skin layers, and so depending on how deep or how far they removed the mole, there might be some, I guess, irritation, depending on how far or how deep they went when they were removing the mole. So it could just be some sensory irritation that's manifested as itching. But I would say, if the mole has been removed and the skin has healed and there has been no complications, then there's nothing to worry about.
All right. But now what should they do, because it's itching? And I think it's worse than now, even than before. Is there something you can advise they apply on the skin to ease the itch?
If it's itching, maybe they can go to the pharmacy to get something to help with the itch.
Oh, okay. All right.
It can either be in the form of a tablet that the person can take, or a cream or ointment.
All righty then. Marisa, I hope that you got that response from Dr. Inga. Please do go to your pharmacy and get something for the itch. But she says it's nothing to really be worried about. So family, the lines are open, 012-334-1322. Ask anything medical, and Dr. Mkalele will respond to that. And the SMS line, 37871, the WhatsApp line, 0826572729. Dr. Mkalele, most of the times we hear people are drinking or eating themselves to death, talking about where diabetes mellitus is concerned. And so somebody asked the question, does sugar cause diabetes mellitus? Does some or some food that we eat, can food cause one to have diabetes mellitus?
Yeah, so with diabetes, really, we have two types of diabetes, but we actually have more. But if you can say in some simpler terms, we have two types of diabetes. And so there are things that make someone to be at risk of developing diabetes. Those things include leading a sedentary lifestyle. So that includes, having, essentially, like you are over indulging in unhealthy foods, and you have unhealthy eating habits. So that's high carbohydrate diet, high fat diet. You're not drinking enough fruits and vegetables, and you're eating like a lot of essentially a carbohydrate and sugar rich diet. does predispose you to developing diabetes. And then things like alcohol, excessive alcohol consumption also predisposes to developing diabetes. And then also people who aren't active also are more predisposed to developing diabetes. And people who smoke also predisposed to developing diabetes. Remember, much like hypertension, it is a disease of lifestyle. And so those essentially how you lead your life sort of determines how much at risk you are at developing diabetes. Sure. Like I said, you do get two types of diabetes. The one where it's like autoimmune, and the one that we typically see in majority of the population that develops because of obesity and, you know, all these poor lifestyle habits.
Sure, poor lifestyle habits. You mentioned alcohol. One would wonder how alcohol is innocent. Why would
it? Oh, no. Alcohol causes a lot of problems when it's consumed excessively.
And is it because it has a lot of sugar and or it turns into sugar and people don't know once one has taken it?
It has high sugar content. That would be how it would be, you know, sort of contributing to diabetes. But remember, it's also metabolized or broken down by the liver, and you know, the some of the complications that relate to some conditions happen to affect the liver. So diabetes not necessarily, because we know that the hormones that are related to diabetes are made in the pancreas, and that's your insulin is made in the pancreas. But excessive, very very excessive alcohol consumption can lead to complications that damage the pancreas. So, you know, alcohol is not it has a whole list of side effects that cause medical issues.
So what are the signs and symptoms of diabetes mellitus?
Okay, so with diabetes, typically the signs that we look out for is, it's thirst, right? Thirst, dizziness, the person might be sweaty. Those are the sort of like acute symptoms that someone will have. Usually, people present with high sugar levels in their blood. But sometimes people can also present with hypoglycemia. So it's, like I've said, the feeling of, you know, you're dizzy, you are feeling quite thirsty. Some people might have abdominal pain, you know, they might just not feeling well. However, that's usually, you know, like if we catch their diabetes early on. But in people who've had long-standing diabetes that's been untreated and they've been having these symptoms that maybe they have not been paying any attention to, then they present with complications of diabetes. And this can, you know, the neuropathy, this sort of like loss of, this patchy loss of, you lose your sense of touch. They present with gastrointestinal problems, or like diarrhea, a lot of stomach problems, because that neuropathy also goes and it affects the stomach. A lot of people get cataracts. A lot of people with diabetes have cataracts, so that's one of the eye complications of diabetes. Kidney problems, heart problems, because high sugar levels in the blood cause changes to your blood vessels on a micro level. It actually changes your blood vessels on a microvascular level, and that's what leads to the complications of the diabetes that I've just mentioned. So you can either present in the early stages, or you present with complications.
Sure. So somebody says high levels of sugar content in the blood can lead to ADHD also in children, diabetes and ADHD, and Alzheimer's in adults. Is that true?
So there are conditions that predispose to other conditions. So there are conditions that predispose to other conditions. So with Alzheimer's, not necessarily, but it's possible that you can have two conditions at once. And then when it comes to ADHD, sugar is also, it causes hyperactivity. So in someone who has ADHD, then consuming foods that have a high sugar content, and when we say sugar content, we mean like actual sugar, but actually what we mean is carbs, because that's what is sugar to your body, is carbohydrates. So in someone who has ADHD or who is on that spectrum, then consuming these kinds of foods might aggravate their symptoms because it makes them more, it stimulates them essentially. And when you have ADHD, that's what you want to avoid. And so some of the advice that the doctors or the clinicians might give to someone who has ADHD is to avoid certain types of foods sugar and very high carbohydrates and caffeine as well, because it can make symptoms to come out. It can overstimulate you essentially.
Wow.
That's not to say that if you have diabetes, you will have ADHD, and if you have ADHD, you'll probably have diabetes. It's just to say that if you have ADHD, then you know you sort of these sort of foods aren't great for you, but you could also have two conditions at once.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, this life. So most of the times we are told, Dr. Mkaleli, to look at what we eat, to read what we eat. And we are told that lots and lots of processed food or food that we eat has got a large content of sugar in them. How do we get to that where we are aware that, okay, we should avoid this one and that one? Because it's not written. Not all of them are written about how the sugar is so high. It's not obvious. Like cereals, for example. You never think of cereals, especially those with whole wheat, that they might have a high sugar content, but it is said so.
Yeah, so the catch when it comes to sugar and food labels is that you need to look further than looking for actual sugar.
Okay.
So a lot of foods have hidden sugars. I'll give you an example. Like I've said, in the broader sense, when you speak about sugar, we speak about carbohydrates. So you need to look at what kind of carbohydrates are in your food. You've rightly said, we prefer more, less processed foods because it's easier for your body to break down, and that's what we like. So you want less refined carbohydrates. So the white rice, the potatoes, the pasta, that's not great for someone who is at risk of developing diabetes or someone who has diabetes.
Okay.
Just because of the way that it's broken down. But now you actually look at the food label. What example can I think of? Also, sometimes something will say it has a low, sugar content, but then you'll find that the sugar is actually hidden in the flavorant, or you know. So you need to look really closely at the food label to say, okay, this packaging says that this food item has really low content of sugar. And when you actually look at the label, you see that, it's actually really processed food, or they use flavorants. And when you look at the flavorants, you realize, no, actually, that's where the sugar is. You just need to look at the food labeling. And, unfortunately, you need sometimes to ask Dr. Google or your healthcare provider to say, look, I'm concerned, you know, every time I consume this. And a lot of diabetics have access to a machine where they can check their sugar at home. They say, if I consume ABC kind of, then, my sugar spikes. You know, even bananas have really high sugar.
Yeah,
content.
I've heard of that.
I mean, and you would think, you know, a banana is a fruit, but, you know, it's not great for diabetics because of the sugar content. Even oranges and things like that, they're not great for diabetics because of the sugar content. So even when it comes to fruit, dietitians will say, these are the list of recommended foods that you should eat, and these are the foods that you should avoid.
Sure. I was actually surprised that even dates and raisins were also mentioned to some diabetic people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you think about fruit and vegetables and you're like, oh no, I'm eating fruit, I'm eating vegetables, but you're not thinking about what is in, because I mean there's no ingredient label for what's in a banana.
Yeah.
But you know that it has high sugar content. And a lot of the type 1 diabetes, you know, something as simple as eating fruit with high sugar content can make you really, really sick.
Now, family, okay, I'll come back to you, Dr. Mgalele. Family, we are taking your calls. You got a medical condition that you want to ask Dr. Mgalele about. Please call 012-334-1322. Once the doctor is not here, once the doctor is gone, we won't be able to answer your questions. So that is Ace Basuk. You can ask your questions, 012-334-1322. Alternatively, our WhatsApp line, 082-657-2729. And you can also use our SMS line, 37871. Do remember that comes with 150 if you're going to send an SMS. But you can send a WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. We are streaming live even on Facebook, 012-334-1322. Good morning to you, Frank Jacobs. Thank you so much for being with us right here on Just For You. Now, Dr. Mgalele, when we were talking with you, you said something about the treatment. Let's ask first the question, is it possible to prevent diabetes, and what is the treatment for those who are already involved? And so you can also mention what you said to me about the treatment today.
That's perfect. So what I would say is it's possible to prevent diabetes, and it's also possible, I want to say reverse, but it's also possible to go from having diabetes, like being medically diagnosed with having diabetes, and then not being a diabetic anymore. And I'll explain how that happens.
Oh.
So
mm-hmm.
we have parameters that we use to diagnose diabetes. And so of those parameters, we measure your blood sugar level. But we use a specific, we look for a specific cell, I guess. We measure a specific marker in the blood. That's long-term. So we're not just measuring your blood sugar level at that time, it reflects your blood sugar level over 3 months, essentially. And then based on that value, we can say, okay, between this and this range, I think we diagnose diabetes at 6.5. People have an HbA1c at 6.5. Those people, and above, those people are diabetic. So anyone who has a HbA1c that is like 6.3, 6.2, those people we will classify as pre-diabetic. Okay? And that's when we would sit down with a person and say, okay, we need to consider lifestyle modifications because you're at risk of developing diabetes. And the lifestyle modifications would be the dietary changes. You know, if it's someone who drinks alcohol, they need to modify their alcohol intake. They need to modify smoking. They need to exercise. And then it's possible to go from having an HbA1c of 6.2 to having an HbA1c of 5.8, and then you're not pre-diabetic anymore. You're fine, you know, and then you would continue with that lifestyle. Mm. Similarly, you have someone now who has been diagnosed with diabetes, and once you have been diagnosed, like I said, you know, there's that time where we try lifestyle medications, but most people, they go on treatment just because of the complications of diabetes. And the treatment options, there's oral medication that's available, and then there's injectable medication that's available. So the oral medication makes your body more sensitive to insulin that it produces itself. So the oral medication is typically for the diabetes that is acquired. Remember I said we have two types of sugar diabetes. So the one that is acquired or is insulin resistant, yeah, that's when your body doesn't recognize the insulin that is made. The medication that you drink already helps your body to be able to recognize that insulin that it produces itself better, so that the sugar and the, you know, can go into the cell and you can have energy for the day. But if you have the other type of diabetes, type 1 diabetes, which is autoimmune, your body doesn't make insulin at all. So we have to give you insulin. So those people, we can't give the oral medications because they don't have insulin to begin with. So then we have to give them insulin.
All right. Let me disturb before you continue so that because we will be running out of time very soon. A family member is asking Dr. Mkalili, what is the first most common symptom of kidney failure?
Okay, so kidney failure, it depends. We get acute kidney failure and you get chronic kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone has kidney failure, typically what happens is it disrupts the balance of the salts in the body. And depending on what salt is affected most, that will determine what symptom that person will present with. But the most common manifestation of kidney failure is you're not producing urine, and usually you present with confusion. But there are other symptoms one does present with. You can also present with swelling, like your legs swell, your whole body can swell also. That just means that your body's not getting rid of fluid. So those are the most common symptoms of kidney failure. But like I said, it depends if you're in acute kidney failure or if it's something that has been longstanding.
Mm-hmm. So you can present with edema, like the swelling of...
Yes, okay. You present with edema, you can present with confusion, you can present with not passing urine, so you present with, you're not producing urine, basically.
Okay, so can it be just one symptom, or should it be all of them together, maybe?
Well, I don't know, I think maybe the question you're asking is, if you have edema, does it mean you have kidney failure? Not necessarily. Those cohorts of symptoms can also indicate something else. That's why if something like that does happen to you, it's important to see a healthcare provider. So there's a lot of things that can cause edema. There's a lot of things that can cause confusion. There's a lot of things that can cause you not to pass urine. Sometimes, especially in men, it's their prostate. I'm just making an example. I mean, once that has been worked up and resolved, then you find that the kidney failure resolves. So it just depends. You just need to see your healthcare provider, get a workup, blood, urine. Sometimes they do scan, and then you take it from there.
All right. And now family members are asking questions, and I'm about to say goodbye to Dr. Mkalili. What's the doctor's take on the carnivore diet? I was diabetic. I started the carnivore diet, which is low-carb, high-fat diet, and my diabetes was reversed. This is Sipho Nkosi.
Yeah, so like I said, there are recommendations, dietary recommendations that are made for diabetics. In my medical opinion, a diet that has low carbs is a great diet. So the high fat one, it's a bit tricky because I do still think that it's more important to have a balanced diet. So you still want to consume carbs, but you want to consume less refined carbs, and you want to not overconsume carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And you want to consume fat, but you want to consume the fat in moderation. It's great that it works for you, and there is some evidence that, you know, the keto diet or the carnivore diet, you know, it helps people lose weight. It can help reverse diabetes, as you said. It's just difficult to sustain those kinds of diets because, you know, once you've reached your goal after some time, then you sort of go back to what you were doing before. So okay. I think for me, it's more about a lifestyle change to say, look, you can have all your favorite foods, but have them in moderation and don't have them every day, you know.
Okay.
That's the advice we typically give. But it is possible for that to happen.
All right. So another family member, this is the last one. Good morning. What is the symptoms of diabetes? I have itchy feeling.
Yeah. So that's neuropathy. I've mentioned it before. That's one of the late signs of diabetes. It's actually a complication of diabetes. So it's, like I said before, when you have high sugar levels, it's actually poisonous into your blood. It's not, you're not supposed to have high sugar levels in your blood. So when you have very high sugar levels in your blood, then it causes damage to your blood vessels and it causes damage to your nerves. So So the one that you're asking about now is a manifestation of a neuropathy. And we tend to see that as a, in people who have long-standing diabetes that has not been controlled.
All right, Dr. Mkaleli. All right, Dr. Mkaleli, let's wrap it up. And you spoke about people in the USA buying some medication, diabetic medication, for losing weight.
And the reason why it's relevant is because the diabetics need it. You know, they need it as part of their treatment. And it's been out of stock, you know. Diabetics are struggling to get their medication. It's because now people are using it for weight loss. It's just an interesting thing that's happening in our community at the moment.
Mm, all right. Your closing statements for vandag?
My closing statements for today are, you know, let's look after ourselves. Let's try to lead a healthy and well-balanced lifestyle. Let's watch what we eat. Let's look at our food tables. Yeah, let's just try, you know, to be really healthy. Diabetes is very, 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 very common, and it's one of the leading causes of, you know, illnesses in South Africa and across the world. So, yeah, I would say that let's just look after ourselves and get tested for diabetes. We should be taking our sugars at least once a year. And yeah, if you have any questions, you can ask us on our WhatsApp line, 060-019-0000. And you can also check our social media pages to see what we're up to and to see where to find our mobile clinic.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Mkaleli, for talking to us again this week. We'll be talking to you again, begging it long. We hope it will be much better. July. Have a great one.
Thank you.
See
you. Bye.
Bye. And family, that is Dr. Mkaleli, Inga Mkaleli from Kiredi. And the regular live conversations with our young doctors are hosted, and you can reach out to them with thoughts, questions, or concerns on the social media platforms. And their social media handles are at Kiredi SA. It's KEREADYSA on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Speak to a young doctor and ask questions by sending hi to WhatsApp number 060-019-0000. It's 060-019-0000. And when we come back from these sounds of Zoto Mahlangu, we are talking to Steve Mabona. If you're a parent and your child is going to grade one next year, or your child is going to grade 8 next year, you need to know more about the right now what's happening and how you can apply online. Online admissions application period 2025. There are tutorials there online. But hey, let's talk to him more about that.
You're at 657 AM, Radio Caring, 24 hours a day.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up. A time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.